Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of In Accord. The Spring Holy Days drew to a close about 2 weeks ago. It's hard to believe that they have come and gone, and now we're in the countdown for the upcoming day of Pentecost. I certainly hope that your Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread were rejuvenating and spiritually rewarding. Mr. Ken Giese, the pastor of the Fort Worth congregation, asked me to conduct the Passover service this year in Fort Worth. It was a little emotional for me since I had conducted about 20 Passovers there when I was the pastor. Mr. Dave West, one of the elders in Fort Worth, and I shared the service together. That was also poignant for me as well. You see, Dave West's father, Roger, was the associate pastor in Kansas City when I was a teenager, before I left for college. And I even remember when Dave was born in Kansas City. My older sister used to babysit him. A lot of memories came into play that evening. Roger, Dave, and me, all with the roots dating back to Kansas City almost 60 years ago. That shared history made the Passover service even more memorable. The buzz around the office is the upcoming International Conference. The conference is held every 2 years. By the time you view this In Accord, the majority of our international ministers will have already arrived here in McKinney. The rest of the ministry will arrive on Sunday the 4th. A welcome Texas barbecue dinner will be hosted here at headquarters on the lawn on the east side of the building. A big tent will be set up and food and fellowship will begin. Then 2 full days of formal meetings will take place. We are excited to have the eldership of the church come in for the conference. I have no doubt there will be pictures and commentary in the next In Accord that will give you a thorough update. Last week, Mr. Franks and Mrs. Franks, Donna, and I recently returned from a trip to Argentina and Uruguay. It was the first time for the Taylors to visit those two countries. We traveled to South America shortly after the first day of Unleavened Bread to be able to spend the time with the ministry and members for the last part of the Days of Unleavened Bread. It was truly a wonderful opportunity to be with them. I want to give you a brief update on our trip. We left Dallas on Tuesday afternoon, a couple of days after Passover and the first Holy Day. We flew through Miami, where we connected to an overnight flight to Buenos Aires. Saul Lancariga and his wife Carmen flew in from Santiago, Chile, to accompany us on our South American visit. Our local pastor, Alfredo Arboleas, and his wife Alejandra had driven in from Bahia Blanca so that we could be with them during our visit. Here is a picture of the 4 couples as we toured the Pink House, or the Argentina counterpart of our White House, where their president lives and conducts the business of the presidency. On the Sabbath, which was also the last day of Unleavened Bread, we met at a member's home for the morning and afternoon services. Christian and Angelica Arrego host the Buenos Aires congregation in their home, not only for this holy day, but this is where the Buenos Aires congregation meets for regular church service. On this Sabbath, 41 of us gathered together for the special holy day service. I spoke in the morning, and Mr. Franks gave the afternoon sermon. Between services, we shared a wonderful meal together. The congregation was welcoming and very warm and friendly. They really appreciated the opportunity to hear from Mr. Franks, the president of the Church of God, a worldwide association. The following morning, we left Argentina and took a ferry to Montevideo, Uruguay. It is a 3-hour trip on a river named Rio de la Plata, which separates Argentina from Uruguay. The ferry ride was less expensive and, in fact, a welcome break from just getting on another airplane. Although a flight from Argentina to Uruguay would have taken about 50 minutes, when you consider arriving 2 hours before the flight, going through security, passport control, and all of that, the ferry ride was a great choice. We went directly to the home of Marcos and Yuli Severo. This is where the brethren meet for regular church services. It was a Sunday, and Mr. Franks conducted a Bible study in Spanish for the 17 of us. After the study, we had a delicious evening meal of grilled beef and homemade beef sausage, all cooked over an open coals. Hugo was the grillmeister. It was a most relaxing time, and the members standing around the fire, sharing a meal with one another, makes a wonderful environment to talk and laugh and to get to know one another. Bruno, a high school senior and the son of Marcos and Yuli, served as the Spanish interpreter for Donna and me. Our trip to Argentina and Uruguay could not have gone any better. To meet and spend time with the local members and ministry was exciting and encouraging for all of us. The trip home was a bit challenging. Nothing bad, but flight delays caused the total trip back to Texas to be 34 hours from the hotel in Montevideo to her home the next day. Now, I'm not complaining, as I know the Apostle Paul faced a few challenges on his journeys, but the Franks and Taylors were a little travel-worn when we returned to Texas. The financial staff here at headquarters is still processing the Holy Day offering from the Days of Unleavened Bread. It has to be counted, tabulated, and each individual donation has to be entered into the accounting system so that the donor can be properly receipted for his or her offering. This is done for each of the two Holy Days. As of today, Tuesday, April the 29th, I don't have a final total for you as yet. I can say that it appears that both Holy Day offerings were very good and may match last year's Holy Day offering, which had set a record. In this modern age, and especially after COVID, we receive a portion of the Holy Day offering via online and mail-in donations here at headquarters. Approximately two-thirds of the total Holy Day offering is received at the local church services on the specific Holy Day, and the other one-third is given online or mailed in. This makes processing the total offering for a Holy Day a little longer than in the past. Now, that's not a complaint at all, but I wanted to give you the reason why I don't have totals for you just yet. Now, Mr. Franks has asked me to give you a financial update. The figures are quite positive for 2025. First, we will look at income and expenses compared to last year as of April the 29th. Before I give you those numbers, I want to give a bit of a caveat when comparing this year to last year. It has to do with the timing of the spring Holy Days. This year, the Days of Unleavened Bread fall about 2 weeks earlier than last year. So in this report, the income compared to last year is quite a bit rosier than last year on this specific date. Now, that's because in 2025, we have received and deposited $856,000 more in Holy Day offerings than last year at this time. So as we compare this year's income to last year, just keep that in mind. Okay, income. Let's look at income compared to last year. Income is up $998,000 more than last year, or an increase of 28%. Keep in mind that this includes the additional spring Holy Day offering of this year, 2025. Now, expense. Expenses are $254,000 more than last year, or expenses are up 6%. Let's look at income and expense compared to budget. Income. Income is $533,000 above budget, or we have received 13% more income than what was budgeted. Expense. Expense is $601,000 under budget, or we have spent 12% less than what was in the budget. The financial report I have just given you is a snapshot in time, but the numbers are quite good. Thank you for your generous tithes and offerings. Our Father in heaven is our great benefactor, and we give him the credit and thanks for all that we have. There won't be an In Accord next week because of the International Ministerial Conference. The week following, the In Accord will be presented by our president, Mr. Jim Franks. Until next time, may God watch over each and every one of you.